Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they want to, which about one in every three does. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master degree graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this just might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to learn about the very successful Armed Forces Thanksgiving event that's available to all communities, and Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will review our movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show John Irwin, a regional president for Huntington Bank, and Peter Rupert, the president of Fusion Education Group. These characters, gentlemen, are founders of an amazingly successful event whose goal is to honor veterans and to educate high school students on the role of our military in our society. So, welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you, Danny. Great to be with you again.
Peter?
Thanks, Danny. Great to be here again.
Peter, neither of you guys served in the military. Where did this idea come from?
Oh, gosh. Although I never served in the military, I was raised by a military person. My father was in the Marine Corps as a first lieutenant for 3 or 4 years after he graduated from college. And he always emphasized the importance of the military just in our freedom in the U.S., but also in what it made into the man it made him into. And I just always remembered that. And fast forward in my life 30 years or so, and here in Grand Rapids, I was sitting around and thinking about how little we celebrate our military, even in a patriotic city like Grand Rapids. And we had a Veterans Day parade that still takes place in the evening on Veterans Day, which is often a Tuesday night or something, and it's dark and very few people attend. And there's some Memorial Day parades, but that's about it. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could create something here in Grand Rapids that would celebrate our military? And the other thing that I was thinking about at the same time is going back just a few years ago, I had three kids in high school. They're a little bit older now, but they were 3 or 4 years younger than kids across the world in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting to protect our freedoms and our liberties. And they were very naive about what was really happening. And it was not just them, but I think all kids in that age. And as we thought about it, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could find a way to celebrate our military and a way to educate our youth and make them much more cognizant and aware of the sacrifices that our military makes on their behalf every single day.
You know, I appreciate that because I think the secret to a strong country is each family having a sense of duty to country, not just our rights, but also our obligations. So you got this idea, and for some reason you called John.
Yeah, it was funny. We were just small talking before we started this, and there's so many great ideas that people have in all walks of life and in any that never go anywhere because people are afraid to make that first step or make that first phone call. And it took me a while to get started on it. And then I had lunch with another peer of ours and then called John on a Friday afternoon driving home from work. And I just thought, knowing John and his patriotism and his passion around doing things for others and his role in the community, that gosh, if I could get him on board, then we may be well on our way. And certainly he picked up the phone and said, first thing, I think his answer when I was explaining the idea was, I'm in. And once you get that first person to work with you, the rest just kind of starts rolling positively from there.
It does. John, what rang your bell?
I've been blessed with the opportunity with Huntington to make a difference in our communities. And I, like Pete said, we don't do enough to thank our veterans or honor them, especially the younger veterans that were coming back. So I thought, wow, that's exactly true. I have millennial children too, and they're totally unaware of the skills that can be learned in the military that can be applied to civilian life later on. So I thought it was an outstanding idea, and it just shows the power of a couple of people coming together with a thought. And there was no, once we got discussing this, there was no doubt we were going to do an event. We didn't know how much money we'd raise. We didn't know how we were going to do it, and we didn't know where we were going to do it. But we were convinced we were going to do something.
And all we knew, if it didn't go anywhere, then there was two of us, and really three of us, who Jeff Lambert, our third co-founder, we would go down together with a bad idea. But it ended up working out really well.
So the worst case scenario, you'd be out a few bucks and you'd learn something. But somehow, this baby's still flying. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event with the founders, Peter Rupert and John Irwin. That's where it generally happened. As it settled out, what exactly is the mission of Armed Forces Thanksgiving?
Well, I think there's three things, and John add to this, but as we crafted it, and John and I think have really driven this home from the early days, is that first and foremost, we wanted to honor, celebrate, and thank our military for the men and women, both older veterans as well as, John says, newly returning veterans who have given so much on behalf of the country. So that alone was just a fantastic mission. But beyond that, we wanted to expose and educate our youth, our high schoolers across the country. And so we invite kids from high schools all over West Michigan to attend this event. And it's a way for them to learn about and hear about the skills that they can develop in the military, but more importantly, to understand the sacrifices that those in the military have made, not just in battle, but the time and energy they put into their service for years at a time, time away from their family, et cetera. Those are big sacrifices that our young people need to know as well. And then thirdly, which was really a final piece or a byproduct of doing this right, is that we could raise some money to support our veterans here in West Michigan and support a number of programs to help them financially to better their situations as they return home and or as they go about their daily challenges that they're up against.
And I think the other thing, Denny, as I thought about was we've had conflict for years now, and society is becoming numb to it.
Yes.
A war here, a conflict here, and especially our young people. It's just kind of ordinary now. And we, as a group that put this together, didn't want this community to be numb to the people that make a choice, the men and women every day that make a choice to serve our country and protect our freedom, whether it's in the Guard or whether it's in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it might be. Those are people that made a choice, and I never want us to get numb to that.
You know, that's a key thing. And one of the things that I really appreciated when you guys brought me in was that it was not a recruiting event. Indeed, recruiters weren't even invited or welcome. It was not trying to get kids to join. It was an educational orientation, cultural event, and that to me was the overwhelmingly strong issue. Was that an accident or on purpose?
No, definitely on purpose. We wanted this to be a patriotic celebration of our military. It was not meant to recruit kids. We didn't want kids to feel strong-armed that recruiters are going to be sitting out there. That's why you don't see any of them. It's not about that. There are some kids who are already interested in the military that sign up to attend this, which is great, and this probably affirms their interest. Others have no awareness at all, and they're enlightened to all those things we talked about so that they leave with a fresh sense of a very patriotic event and a real understanding of what our military means to so many people in this country.
We've got about a minute left right now. What other kinds of people did you recruit for your committee?
Let's look at you, Denny. Someone with military background, imperative. We also brought in folks with the media, public relations, and then the school system. We went around school to school talking to principals and superintendents to say, we want to do something for your kids. Is this a good idea? Would you support it? So those are the key constituents that you need to go and get on the team, plus people that have connections that can raise money.
Yes, for sure. You don't have to be a really good business person to know that if you go to somebody and say, I'm going to sell something to you, you aren't. When you go to them and say, here's an idea, does this fit your need? Everybody wins. So, yeah, if we're going to reach the kids, you've got to go through the schools. So exactly how this works, we're going to cover in a couple of minutes. So when we come back, we'll discuss some more mechanics of the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event, and John Peter will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. I want you to balance on one foot for 2 minutes, then balance on the other foot for 2 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with DECA to provide a taste of home to our commissary patrons around the world.
From canned beans to instant oatmeal, the Freedom's Choice brand has all your favorite food items made exclusively for our nation's armed forces and families with the quality, value, and integrity you deserve. Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less-than-lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
If you're within 15 years of retirement, this message is for you. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. By performing an asset reset, we reposition portfolios to start generating sustained retirement income. And you don't already have to be rich to utilize our time-proven strategies. Only about $150,000 in assets is a great place to start. Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income.
Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with John Irwin and Peter Rupert about our Armed Forces Thanksgiving event. Okay, guys, talk to us about the first event. How'd it go?
Well, I think it exceeded everything that we had hoped for and expected. And, you know, John and I and Jeff, as we sat around with our expanded committee that included you, Denny, I think we didn't know what would happen, right? You just don't know if people are going to step up to another event. And while we thought this was unique and powerful, we just don't know how it's going to be received. And so we felt, gosh, we could put on this whole event and only have 100 people show up. And, hey, at least we tried our best and 100 people showed up and we did some good, even if it didn't go any further. But what we found is with the help of an amazing committee, and I think just this resonated, the idea resonated with so many people in the community that we ended up selling out our first event in a smaller venue than we had today, but I think we had north of 500 people in that first event. We have had each year, we've had 50 or more high schools represented by three students and a teacher or a supervisor who comes down with them from across all of West Michigan. We have lots of sponsors selling out every one of our tables and then tremendous military support. So thinking that, gosh, we just hope this thing is successful and then seeing it sold out that first year just changed our whole paradigm about how it does indeed resonate with the community and what we could possibly do with it, and it's grown ever since.
And I think it's probably one of the most unique events I know in this community, probably across the country, because the way the deal works here is Fusion or Huntington buys a table for $2,000. We get four seats to fill out of a table of 10. So hopefully Pete and I are filling those with veterans who work for us. We then place as guests at your table two members of our community who have served our country, and then we place three high school students and a chaperone. So you have an interesting mix of business people, veterans, and students having a conversation over lunch and all the ceremony that's going on. And I don't think that kind of thing takes place anyplace else.
No, and when veterans can talk about their service, but the business people can talk about why they like to hire veterans, that's an awesome mix. So every table is basically one high school, but some high schools take two tables. But when you talk about 50 tables, that's an incredible thing. But what really, really rings my bell about that is those students have an obligation after attending this event. Talk to us about that obligation they have.
Well, that was an interesting one, because what we realized is although we had a number of high schools, 50 or more high schools showing up from all over West Michigan, we're only touching directly three kids from each high school. So call it 150 students throughout all of West Michigan were being touched. But we thought, how do we create some kind of a cascading effect where we could really touch many more? And so that was the idea that came up in our committee about, let's make this an extension so that we would challenge every one of the high schools with that chaperone, oftentimes a teacher or an administrator from their school who's come down with them, to say, your mission now is to go back and ideally in the fall, maybe even around Veterans Day, is to hold some kind of a military celebration event on your campus. And so in some cases, it can be a school-wide assembly. In other cases, a history class might have every one of their classes go through some kind of a celebration or a military commemoration event. No matter how it works, that's less important to us as it is to try and get this to be have its own unique flavor that the students take back and take real ownership in at their local campuses.
And we've had some students, they've done a wall of honor, everyone that served from their high school. We had another group that went back to their wood shop and said, hey, we want to make American flags out of pallets, which they did. And then they presented an American flag made out of a pallet to all of the teachers who were veterans in their school. So that's a cool example of taking it back and making a difference.
And it leaves the initiative up to the students. There's no formula they've got to follow. That's incredible. I've been at a couple of the times we recognized those students in their high schools, and you couldn't make it happen if you set out to try to make it happen. It's awesome. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the Armed Forces Thanksgiving Luncheon with Peter Rupert and John Irwin. Okay, one of the big goals is to grow. I know we're in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We've got a committee that is starting to grow in Detroit to start having their own. We'd like to see, I think I can speak for you guys, one of these in every city in the nation. So if you're interested in learning how to do this, what can they do?
Well, I tell you, we are certainly all ears and willing to help in any way we can. The first thing to go to would probably be to go to our website at armedforcesthx.org, where they can quickly send us a note or learn more about the actual event. We are happy to help. Obviously, having done this now, three events, our fourth one coming up in May, we have a template and basically a how to get an event started that we've already created. Plus, we have a lot of resources among our committee that are willing to help. And I think the biggest thing is taking that first step. People who are willing and just willing to take that first step, get a couple people together. That's what we did, and it's amazing to see what it's become.
And Danny, I think this is a big opportunity. We have given away approaching $150,000 in 3 years for veterans group activity things in West Michigan. That's an amazing number that people can replicate in their own communities if they choose to do so. And it will be received well.
And they've got lots of secrets to this thing. Like there are no big sponsors, so that if I represent a car company, I can be the big sponsor so no other car companies can participate. All sponsors at the same level. Nobody can buy in or gets pushed out. They've just got a lot of tricks that they've developed along the way that if you're interested in starting an event like this, this will work for you. By the way, one of the cool things is you might ask why they're doing it in May. May is Armed Forces Month, and it's called Armed Forces Thanksgiving because we serve a Thanksgiving meal, turkey and cranberry sauce and all that good stuff. This is seriously cool. John, we've got a couple of minutes left. What key points would you like everybody to take from our conversation?
This is a way for other communities to really make a difference. And we have a playbook, and we've been anxious for other communities to take part in this. And I would love for someone from Austin, Texas, for example, that may be listening to you today to say, you know, I want to come up and see how this works. We'd be glad to have some folks and host them up here to see how this event comes to be, because we do have the playbook. What they need is the willing hearts that want to bring this to life in their communities.
Peter?
I would echo that. I think the most important thing is just make that first phone call. Contact us at our website. We'll help you. think about the value you're providing to the military members in your community. There's so many of us who go through our daily lives, and yeah, we read about it in the newspaper, or we see it on TV occasionally, but we don't see the people that might be a mile or two away from us and what they're dealing with, having come back from their service or from combat or what have you. And just to think that if we can put together that kind of a celebration event to thank them, that's first and foremost we want to do is thank them, and then raise a little money beyond that to help them in any way we can. That's a big win for society. It's a big win for any community. So if anyone's interested, we're happy to help in any way we can.
So if you think we're hustling you, we are. We'd really like you to consider doing this, and we'll give you the plan. You don't have to follow it. You can adjust it to your community, your needs, but we've got a program that works. So my encourage to you, if you're in a community, and you are, because everybody's in a community, consider an Armed Forces Thanksgiving event, whatever you want to call it. But this is a great way to build patriotism in the youth of America today. And if there's one thing we need, that's it. John, thank you for joining us today, friend.
Pleasure, Denny.
Peter, glad you could join us. It's always fun.
Absolutely, Denny. Thanks so much.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen with each arm, then stand at ease. But do stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
I started going cold turkey, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
I do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is in Vietnam preparing for his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The summit is meant to help work towards the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. The summit is a follow-up from a previous meeting in Singapore last June. Megan Ortegas is a former State Department official. She shares what she believes will come out of this meeting.
I think that we're going to see a number of incremental steps happen here. I really see this as a trust-building summit. I don't think that you're going to see some sort of major, you know, end of nuclear weapons throughout the world.
A federal judge is allowing AT&T's merger with Time Warner to proceed. The judge's ruling Tuesday ends a long merger process. Last June, a U.S. District Court judge ruled the $85.4 billion bid was legal and allowed to proceed. But the Department of Justice appealed the ruling in July, saying the merger would reduce competition and lead to higher consumer prices. This is USA Radio News.
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you replace your worn wiper blades with a pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get premium blades that ensure clear vision, plus earn double points on this purchase during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a privilege to welcome to the show Diane Raver. She's a part of the team. She runs the Garden State Film Festival, and she provides us with an interesting movie to review each month. So, welcome back, Diane.
Thank you, Danny. Always thrilled to be here. It's an honor and a privilege.
You know, somehow goofy people like us can work together and do something useful. The movie of the month this month is clearly my favorite since we started working together over a year ago, The Pledge of Allegiance.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it tells the story of the pledge, the history of it. I thought I knew it. If you'd asked me before I saw this, I'd say, yeah, I know. And I would have been totally wrong. I didn't have a clue. And the insights are just fantastic. What did you like most about it?
Well, I have to admit that the fact that this project was, it wasn't exactly born at one of my festivals, but I made the introduction to the filmmaker, to Ed Asner, and suggested that he be a part of it. And Ed, of course, was gracious enough to do it. And then again, we premiered it after it was made. So again, wrapping the New Jersey aspect to it, again, to a place local to me that I didn't know had any relationship to the Pledge of Allegiance, was all just marvelous and a great honor and a privilege to be a part of.
Well, certainly having Ed Asner play the role he did, it would have been good anyway, but that made it great.
Yeah, he's a terrific guy. We're very pleased for all the support he's given us over the year, and how gracious he is with his time to independent filmmakers and the like.
Indeed. Okay. Here's some comments from some listeners. Wow, a requirement to learn English or not be an American. That's what Teddy Roosevelt said. Things really have changed. Now it's almost a negative to speak English. But there was a time in our history, very clearly, 100 years ago, when we thought nationalism was important.
It's still important.
But I have no objection to us being able to be multi-language, multicultural.
Well, but I think you have to give people a chance to assimilate, too.
Absolutely.
But
I do believe English should be our national language, but that has nothing to do with this.
Right.
Next comment, they question the loyalty of immigrants who are trying to come legally. You know, that makes some sense. Immigration probably should be based on, are you bringing something to our country that will be useful or not? Because why should we take you into our support system if you're not going to add to it? And that doesn't mean don't have room for people who are hurting and need help, but a normal immigration, and indeed that was the case, that's the case in almost every country in the world, even today.
Right.
You have to be going to add something to it. But we were very formal about that, and it makes sense to me. Liberty poles, tall poles with American flags. That's cool. Not something that I've seen much of, but I like the idea. That was something of the culture back in the day when all this was happening. Hey, I have a flagpole in front of my house with the American flag on it, but I don't think it's as tall as a Liberty pole was. And a socialist Baptist pastor as the author of the pledge.
Isn't that a hoot?
My gosh. If you were going to pick somebody and you made a list of 1,000, he might not make that list.
No, I know.
Which just shows to you that good Americans come in all flavors, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And isn't that the point, you know? Exactly.
To me, I really was shocked. But as the more I thought about it, the more it makes sense. We don't need people who are so blindly adhering to certain doctrines that they can't stand other people. But the fact that people embrace different perspectives and keep an open mind, that's not a weakness for America. That's a strength.
No, I was just going to say that's what makes us strong in the home of the free and the brave. Exactly.
So I was shocked and then absolutely delighted. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the movie of the month, The Pledge of Allegiance, with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. The next one, The Daughters of the American Revolution, leading for a big celebration for Columbus Day. Well, today they're trying to abandon Columbus Day, but the DAR, obviously they were proud Americans with their history tracing back to the Revolution. and wanting to celebrate Columbus Day as the day that the hemisphere was discovered by Europeans anyway. I suspect the Native Americans knew it was here. But that's using the Pledge of Allegiance as a kickoff to Columbus Day is something I had no hint about. But as you think about it, it makes sense.
It does.
And I'm all in favor of patriotic groups looking for ways to increase our understanding of history, to increase our appreciation for our nation, imperfect as it is. So the Daughters of the American Revolution gained some respect in my eyes, and I had no clue about how their role in that.
These films are fun, aren't they? You really do. It really does enrich us.
And the pledge to go with the raising of the flag on the 21st of October, which was Columbus Day, I believe, that makes sense. We play the national anthem or we play music. Certainly the Pledge of Allegiance while the flag's being raised certainly is logical. Not compelling, but certainly logical and certainly patriotic. And that would be something that might be a good idea today as, I don't mean as a requirement, but as a part of culture. But frankly, I like to see Americans respecting our flag, standing up, hand over their heart, whatever they wish to do.
I agree.
So I'm sort of a proud American, and I'm proud of our country. And this movie was just amazing.
It was a delightful little film, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I'd like to shout out to the Frintrip family for a great job that they did.
They did indeed. And folks, if you haven't heard it yet, it's going to be on the Front Lines of Freedom website until the end of this month, which is coming up. Well, Diane, your film festival is about a month away.
Ooh.
Or did you remember that?
I didn't, but thanks for reminding me.
So tell us about it. I know it's open. I know that lots of people are going to be there.
The schedule is up on our website, gsff.org. We're rounding up the celebrities right now. We have an unbelievable lineup of films from all around the country. This year it's 247 films from 22 countries. We're proud to present in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and we hope any of the listeners that can hear us will try and make an attempt to be with us. And again, it's my honor and privilege to be able to share the appropriate films with you after each festival.
Well, I can't imagine how delightful it must be. Folks, our movie next month is Thailand Untapped. And it's very, very different from what we've done before because it's about helping people. Because there's this goofy idea that if we help people be happy and healthy where they are, that can reduce worldwide tensions, and our military won't be needed quite so much. Not a bad idea. So next month, the movie is Thailand Untapped. Diane?
Thank you, Danny. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad you're a part of the team. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at about 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, 10 at a time. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Wouldn't it
it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillen. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from your listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Pete and Sue, both Air Force vets, were delighted with your interview with Concerned Veterans for America. They've wanted to get active politically, but not with a political party, and they now know how to do that.
Pete and Sue, thank you. We need our citizens to be active in controlling our government, and you're doing that now, and CVA is a great way to do it.
Melinda from California wanted to know what church safety has to do with military and veteran issues. She's not complaining, just curious.
Well, Melinda, on this show, we look at foreign and defense policy and actions, veterans issues, and homeland defense. Homeland defense includes everything we need to protect our precious citizens at home, and that includes in church. So thanks for your question. Well, this is the time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who's no longer with us. Joe M. Jackson enlisted in the Army Air Corps in 1941 to be an aircraft mechanic. He was selected for aviation cadet training and before pinning on his wings in 1943 to fly the P-40 Warhawk and the P-63 King Cobra. He flew 107 missions as an F-84 Thunderjet pilot during the Korean War, earning the Distinguished Flying Cross. In 1968, the 45-year-old Jackson headed to Vietnam in a C-123 pilot with the 311th Air Commando Squadron. In May of 1968, Jackson, then a lieutenant colonel, was called in to rescue a three-man combat control team trapped under heavy enemy fire at Special Forces Camp in Cam Duc in South Vietnam. For weeks, North Vietnamese and Viet Cong had amassed around Cam Duc, prompting the evacuation of over 1,000 troops and allied civilians. Eight aircraft went in, and all were taken out by hostile enemy fire. They were raking the camp with small arms fire, mortars, light and heavy automatic weapons, and recoilless rifles. The camp was engulfed in flames, ammunition dumps were continually exploding, and littering the runway with debris. Three combat controllers were left behind in the confusion. The command post called for a follow-on air raid to destroy the deserted U.S. equipment. A storm was brewing, with visibility deteriorating fast. He heard a radio call asking whether anyone could go in and evacuate the remaining combat controllers before it was too late. Quote, "I was looking out the window and I knew exactly where they were," he said. "From 9,000 feet, I started on an extremely steep landing approach. My airspeed was right at the maximum." He rolled out on the final approach roughly 1,000 feet from the end of the runway strip below. Jackson touched down and saw the three men running towards his plane. Just then, Jackson's co-pilot called out that a 122-millimeter rocket had been fired at their aircraft. It skidded down the runway and broke in half, stopping just shy of Jackson's nose. It never exploded. The president presented Jackson with the Medal of Honor on January 16, 1969. Jackson later became a faculty member at the Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama, until he retired from the Air Force in 1974. He then worked as a training instructor in Iran for Boeing until 1977. Rest in peace, Colonel Jackson.
True American hero. You know, Colonel,
I could have been a fighter pilot. I could have. I'm afraid of heights. That's just the only drawback.
Oh, and I just didn't want to fly. I was offered the opportunity, and I declined it. On my physical, it says physically disqualified for flight due to lack of desire.
Oh, there you go.
Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 27 February 1776, in the early morning hours, Commander Richard Caswell led 1,000 Patriot troops in a successful Battle of Moore's Creek over 1,600 British loyalists. It would go down in history as the first American victory in the first organized campaign of the Revolutionary War. British Colonel Donald MacLeod began marching 1,600 loyalists from Cross Creek, North Carolina, towards the coast, where they were supposed to rendezvous with other loyalists and redcoats at Brunswick, North Carolina. When Commander Caswell and the Patriots arrived at Moore's Creek Bridge ahead of the British loyalists, Caswell positioned his troops in the woods on either side of the bridge, awaiting the British with cannons and muskets at the ready. The British learned of the Patriots' troops at Moore's Creek in advance, but expecting only a small force, decided to advance across the bridge to attack, shouting, "King George and broadswords!" They advanced across the bridge. They were swiftly cut down by a barrage of Patriot musket and cannon fire. The British quickly surrendered, giving the Patriots their first victory of the Revolutionary War. The victory aborted British plans to land a force at Brunswick, North Carolina, and ended British authority in the state. Within 2 months, on 12 April 1776, North Carolina became the first state to vote in favor of independence from Britain.
And on 27 April 1864, during the Civil War, the first Union prisoners began arriving at Andersonville Prison, which was still under construction in southern Georgia. Andersonville became synonymous with death, as nearly a quarter of its inmates died in captivity. The prison was built to hold 10,000 men, but within 6 months, more than three times that number were incarcerated there. The creek banks eroded to create a swamp, which occupied more than one-fifth of the compound. Rations were inadequate, and at times half the population was reported ill. Some guards brutalized the inmates, and there was violence between factions of prisoners. Andersonville was the worst among the many terrible Civil War prisons, both Union and Confederate. Wirtz paid the price for the inhumanity of Andersonville. He was executed after the Civil War.
On 1 March 1912, Captain Albert Berry made the first parachute jump from an airplane at Jefferson Barracks, Missouri. Captain Berry had a 36-foot parachute packed into a metal case beneath the fuselage. The parachute had a trapeze bar for him to hold onto as he jumped and descended to the ground. How about that, Colonel?
Airborne.
Yes.
I didn't have to do any release of the parachute once he...
Oh, man, give that guy a medal.
or a trapeze bar, at least. And on 1 March 1954, baseball great Ted Williams fractured a collarbone in the first game of spring training after flying 39 combat missions without injury in the Korean War. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's Armed America time. Let's do it, friend.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, California has its share of armed citizens who believe in exercising their Second Amendment rights. In a recent incident in San Diego, a homeowner and his family were sound asleep when a sound of a break-in woke him up at 3 a.m. Glancing outside, he witnessed an intruder grab a rock from a nearby flower bed and headed for the front door. Fearful for his family's safety, the homeowner armed himself and headed for the front door as well, warning that he was armed and ordering the would-be attacker to leave the premises. However, the other man continued to yell, bang on the door, and shattered a glass panel. Faced with no alternative, the homeowner fired and hit the culprit in the shoulder before he ran off. Police later found the suspect and charged him on multiple counts.
Thanks, Colonel. According to the FBI crime statistics, most home invasions occur between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Here's the rationale behind that. Most home invaders do not want to meet up with the homeowner. They simply want to smash into the house, steal what they can, and then get out as quickly as possible. To add to that, there was a study done in federal prison where home invaders were asked this question: what are you most afraid of while breaking into someone's home? The overwhelming answer was this: meeting a homeowner with a gun. And that makes good sense. After all, sane people, people in their right mind, definitely do not want to die at the hands of a frightened or angry homeowner protecting his family. They get that, and they understand that.
However, what does it mean when someone goes out of their way to break into your home at a time when they absolutely know the residents are there? It means a lot of things. One, they are not afraid of you. They may not even be afraid of dying. This means you cannot deter them from coming in. In short, it means you'll have to use deadly force to drive them away, and without that, you can't protect your family. Even an anti-gun state like California understands that. Two, the person breaking in is not currently in their right mind. Either they are there to kill you, or they are on drugs or alcohol, or possibly mentally ill. They are in an altered state of mind, and people like that lose their inhibitions and do things that they normally wouldn't do. And three, it means you'll have to be proficient in the use of your firearm and also fluent in the laws of deadly force in your jurisdiction, and you'll have to follow them to the letter. You'll also need a solid mindset with the attitude that says, not on my watch and not in my home. In short, this California man did a great job protecting his family, and Front Lines of Freedom salutes his positive warrior mentality as well as his courage.
Amen, brother. Our movie of the month is The Pledge of Allegiance, and it's an awesome movie. Please go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We just reviewed it on this show, but it'll be available until the end of the month. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Brooke Goldstein from the Lawfare Project will discuss the rampant anti-Semitism in parts of our nation, along with the rest of the world, along with the bias against our ally Israel. Then Steve Wilson will discuss how HelpVets.net helps vets everywhere. Then Karen Cataline will discuss socialism versus free will. Yeah, they are opposites. And Autumn Hartpence will share about vet sports.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. And do join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.
Mike Hewitt here. Why do we have laws? Seriously, we have immigration laws and laws against ignoring those laws. Lots of folks are okay with those laws being broken by millions. We have laws that prosecutors won't prosecute on, and more than a few judges that actually see themselves above the law. Some folks have special protections from the law, while others are persecuted by it. Laws for when you didn't break the law, but defending your innocence breaks other laws. Some 97% of all criminal cases are plea bargained, settled in the hallway. I'm told there are so many laws, it'd shut the system down if they actually followed the law. If that's true, why are we paying so dearly for legislators to create more laws? The words equal justice under law are engraved on the face of the Supreme Court. We must demand those words be true, honored, and real for all. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is testifying behind closed doors with members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He testifies in an open hearing with the House Oversight Committee on Wednesday. As far as what we can expect out of these hearings, former federal prosecutor and Fox News contributor Andrew McCarthy believes,
this is probably going to have a lot more political fireworks kind of consequences than legal ones.
President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un begin their second summit in Hanoi this week. They're expected to spend a lot of time talking about cutting back on the North's nuclear weapons program and possibly lifting some sanctions. Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana says patience is key.
I'm not expecting anything dramatic. I hope we make progress, but this is going to be more of a marathon, in my opinion.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
CEOs from the nation's top three credit reporting bureaus are testifying before a House Financial Services Committee on Capitol Hill today. This is all due to cybersecurity breaches that affected millions of Americans back in 2017. Ranking Republican member of North Carolina, Patrick McHenry, says the consumer credit reporting system is broken.
The reality today is that if you have a credit file, your information is probably on the dark web. That is a result of the Equifax data breach of last year.
Equifax CEO Mark Berger says a credit bureau is taking significant steps to protect your information.
Since the 2017 cybersecurity incident, Equifax has invested more than $80 million to assist impacted consumers.
There's no end in sight for the teachers' strike in Oakland, California. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman joined negotiators on Monday, who spent the whole day in talks but remained at an impasse. Find us on Facebook at USA Radio. This is USA Radio News.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
Time will tell if the meeting that Vice President Mike Pence had with the opposition leader of Venezuela, Juan Guaido, will do any good or will help the people of Venezuela. The U.S. is recognizing Guaido as a legitimate interim president of Venezuela. Deborah D'Souza grew up in Venezuela and tells Fox News that more needs to be done than economic sanctions.
While sanctions are great, Maduro will not step down with sanctions. I believe that we have to help the South American countries with a coalition of perhaps military intervention to boot the man out.
She also says the situation in Venezuela is dire.
Right now, the situation is really bad, not only in the region, but I think many people don't understand that the situation in Venezuela is a national security threat to America. Hezbollah has training camps there. Iran has their sights on the uranium in Venezuela. And we all know what they want the uranium for. So, you know, instability in the region is not good for anybody. People are immigrating, trying to immigrate to Colombia and Brazil, causing a lot of turmoil in those countries. So I believe that with planning, perhaps, having maybe not boots on the ground, but maybe arms to these coalitions.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.